Entertaining conversation. The Big Jim. The Jim Snyder Podcast.
Well, there is one question that comes to mind as we begin this 39th episode of the Jim Snyder Podcast. Did you miss me? I'm back. And the big question today is, do I know what I'm doing? Do I remember how to do all this stuff? All these buttons and got a computer screen in front of me and all that? Yeah, I'm still having to kind of get myself re-educated as to how all this crap works here. Hi there. Welcome. It is the above-mentioned Jim Snyder Podcast. As I always say, the jingle never lies. That's right. Well, it is episode 39, and I've been away a little bit longer than what I had anticipated, and I will tell you why. First, I guess, what is today's episode about? Well, let me just get the podcast schedule here. I have it right here in my formerly Ovaltine-stained fingers. And basically, it says, wing it. And that's what I'm going to do today. I really don't have much, if anything, prepared. I have a little bit prepared. I have a little something I'm going to share with you at the end of the episode. Other than a really bad pun. Of course I'm going to have a really bad pun. What would a Jim Snyder podcast be without one of those? So I will just say this. I have a little bit of a surprise for everybody, for you, because I always like to think of when I'm talking to people. When I used to be on the radio, I would talk to you, not, hi, everybody. And sometimes I do say hi, everybody, but there are some announcers, disc jockeys, radio personalities who will, like, you know, just they constantly address the listener as like this great big body of people. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. No. But I've always felt personally that I am talking to you, listener. You and I are having a conversation. Well, sort of. I'm doing all the yakking, you're doing all the listening. But I'm talking to you. And there's some truth to this. And I don't know if this is actually the first place I ever heard it, but I've heard it a few other places, and I think it's something that radio people were really taught back at one time. There was a scene from WKRP in Cincinnati. No, it's not the turkey episode. No, it's not when they're playing Pink Floyd. Actually, those are from the same episode. Not the tornado one. All very good episodes. Very good scenes. But there was an episode where Dr. Johnny Fever was on the air, and he went on a little bit of a rant talking about a garbage strike going on in Cincinnati. And he just went on this big rant, and eventually, I guess Jennifer came in, the receptionist came in and said, all these people, here are all the phone messages I'm getting from people wanting to know what they want what you want them to do. And it really kind of freaked him out a little bit. He was like, oh, wow, all these people are listening to me. So he froze. He just kind of, because if you do, it's serious. If you think about this as a young broadcaster, I think maybe even if you've been doing this for a while, like I have, and you sit there and you start thinking about, holy cow, I've got thousands and thousands of people listening to every word that I'm saying, but then maybe not. Yeah, it can kind of sober you up a little bit, I guess, or make you think. Well, anyway, he froze. He freaked out. He just like, can't do it. Well, he was sitting in the studio. They convinced him, you got to go on the air and you got to apologize for the stuff you said, blah, 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 blah. So he's sitting in there and he's trying to get his nerve up, and Bailey walks in and says to him, "Johnny, do what you always taught me to do. Talk to one person at a time." And I think it was earlier in that episode, come to think of it, where Bailey walks into the studio and says to Johnny, "I don't know how you do this thing." And he says, "Well, you know, you just talk to one person at a time." There's a whole little, like, a line with that. And actually, I love the line. And if I can just get off on a little bunny trail for a second. Bailey says to him, "You know, Johnny, how do you do the show every day?" And he says, "Well, it's simple. You just talk into the microphone. Your voice goes out through the wires. And, you know, once a week, whether you need it or not, someone gives you a check for $35. Which is really not too far off. Well, anyway, I've always tried to approach it that you're talking to one specific person. And I think that says something, because you know what? You are a valuable listener. Whoever you are, wherever you're listening, whatever you're doing, if you are driving, if you are doing something else, if you're renovating your home. My brother listens to the podcast and he says, "I listen to it while I'm working on the renovations on my house." And I, you know, that's pretty cool. I would like to think that, you know, people are doing stuff while I'm talking to them, or maybe they're sitting, maybe as you are, if you're one of those that is attentively listening, hanging on every syllable, everything that I say. Well, I appreciate you listening nonetheless. Whether you're got me on in the background, you're driving, working on the house, whatever it is, glad to have you along. Well, where have I been? Well, I'll tell you what. When I wrapped up season two, I honestly wasn't planning on ending season two when I did. It just kind of happened that way. I was running into a situation where I was having, you know, I was getting some guests lined up and things just weren't coming together. And I had reached a point in the podcast where I really didn't have anything really to share. Well, I went out this week, went to the store, bought some ground beef. You don't want to know about just my day-to-day humdrum life. Not that it's really humdrum. Actually, a lot has been going on. But I've got to the point where I can start making some episodes again, because I do have some things lined up. I do have some guests coming on. We have some other things that we are going to do, you and me. As I say we, that's kind of an old broadcast crutch. Thanks for listening to us today. We've got a great show for you. Well, it's me. I am a one-man band. And of course, when we have guests. And there will be guests, and I've got some neat stuff coming up. So it was one of those where I just started running into, you know, having some problems getting guests lined up, getting people to come in. Not that they didn't want to, we just couldn't get the scheduling to work out. And also, I've had a lot of great suggestions from some folks about guests for the podcast. And I want to just reaffirm, or just say it again, thank you everybody with your suggestions. There have been some good ones. Some of them I'm going to be able to follow up on. Some of them I'm not. Now, the one thing that I want to state, and just so that there is no misunderstanding, and I've said this before, but I will say it again, this is not a podcast about blind and visually impaired people. Now, there have been a lot of guests on the podcast who have been blind or visually impaired because, again, these are people that I know, or I know people who know people. And I brought some people on who I felt that are really good and some great guests and have done some really cool things. And some of these people we're going to bring back because their story is evolving. It's changing. And I think we need to, I need to just kind of follow up. And you might want to know what they're up to. So anyway, that's something that could be happening. And in some cases, it will be. But I've had a lot of suggestions. Hey, I know of this guy who is visually impaired, or I know this guy who is blind. Well, that's great. That's awesome. But I want to get another segment of the population on. Everybody else. And we will. I will. So give it some time. If you have an idea for a podcast episode, a topic, a guest, and it could even be you. If you think you have a story to share, and I'll even say, even if you happen to be blind or visually impaired, don't feel like you can't reach out to me. I don't really care what your circumstances are. If you feel you have a story to share that is inspiring, or maybe you know of someone who is an inspiring person as what they have done to overcome some things, to reach goals and dreams that they've set for their life, I would love to hear from you. The Jim Snyder Podcast at gmail.com. The Jim Snyder Podcast at gmail.com. That's where you can send me those suggestions, ideas. Would love to hear from you, because there are people out there. There are lots of people out there that are getting exposure. I saw a story from a guy that I was in Boy Scouts with, Steve Hartman. You might have seen him if you watch CBS News. He does a thing called On the Road, and it is an incredible feature. And I would honestly, I'd love to get Steve on, because I remember Steve when he was a 16-year-old young man. I don't want to say kid, but I remember Steve when he was 16. Brilliant, funny, creative guy. Watched him go off to college, get his start in local TV, doing feature stories. Not hard news, but feature stories. And he was good at it. And he moved his way up the ladder, moved up to a larger city from where he was at. And then he is doing his feature on CBS television, CBS News, On the Road. And he has done some really, really cool features. And he had a guy on recently who was blind. He was actually, it's actually to start off, he talks about his nephew, and I didn't realize this, but then I haven't talked to Steve in ages, but he has a nephew who is totally blind. And his nephew has aspirations of going on to do bigger and better things in life. Well, Steve ran across a gentleman who was a race car driver who was injured in an accident and lost his sight. But this didn't stop him from breaking a land speed record in a vehicle. And it was such a cool story. Now, I thought I could get this guy on maybe, but no, Steve's already done that. I like to talk to people who you probably have never heard of. Like, I think of Gary Olson, our lapidarist friend, who was on last season, and Emily and so many others. Donovan Tildesley, who we're going to get back on. We're gonna get some of these people back and talk about what they're up to. But these are people that most of you have never heard of before. So if you know of somebody like that, if it's yourself, maybe you know of somebody, I'd like to hear from you. The Jim Snyder Podcast at gmail.com. All right. Anyway, what have I been doing? Well, one of the things we did while the podcast was kind of on hiatus was we took our March break, as we called it here in Canada, spring break, if you prefer. We went to Jamaica. Yeah, man, we went to Jamaica. We went to Montego Bay and had a great time. This was our rescheduled vacation that we were supposed to take back in 2020, but it was a cruise at that point. It was an 8-day Southern Caribbean cruise. Well, back in the spring of 2021, when things sort of started to happen, we started looking into booking a vacation. At the time, they said, well, you can't book a cruise right now. We're not booking those, but we can do an all-inclusive for you. We're like, okay. So we decided, let's go to Jamaica. Never been. And we ended up going to this resort in Jamaica. I'll be honest with you, the name of it escapes me at the moment, but that's not important right now. The fact that we went to Jamaica and had a wonderful time at this all-inclusive resort, except for one little problem. There was one little fly in the ointment. Actually, it was a great vacation, but I ended up getting a sunburn on my ankle. Yeah, it was pretty nasty. We went out. It was on Tuesday, I think. It was a Tuesday of that week. We went out, and we go to the club members' beach because we were at club level for that thing, and got the private beach, and the guy is there, the attendant is there to set your day bed up for you, and it's covered and everything, and they put the towels out. It was really nice, nice view of the water, and I'm like, hey, this is great. I'm loving this. Well, you get out there, you get the earbuds on, you got the smooth jazz going in your earbuds, and you just kind of drift off. Yeah. Well, you guessed it. My foot got sun. It was sticking out far enough that the covering of our little canopy thingy, whatever you call these things, over our daybed, didn't protect my ankle, and I got sun. And you know it right away when you get sun. Yeah, it hurts a little bit. Well, as the day went on, it started to really hurt. And we go to dinner that night, and I'm saying to my wife, I said to Sarah, this thing really is kind of beginning to hurt. It's uncomfortable. And she says, well, I got some stuff to put on it. And it was pretty red, and she put the stuff on it, and we did some cold compresses like you should and all that stuff, and just kind of took it easy after dinner. And the next morning when I got up, Sarah looks at it and says, yeah, you got a little blister going there. Well, not surprised. You know, it's a sunburn, a bad one. Those things happen. Well, we go to breakfast, and by the time breakfast was over, gravity had also taken over, and this sunburn had gone to about the size of a walnut. It was big. We're like, think we might want to go have this looked at. So we go to the nurse there at the resort, and she doesn't even really inspect it. She just looks down at it and says, you need to go to the hospital. We're like, really? Aren't you going to at least look at it? Don't you think we should pop this thing? And she's like, no. Too much risk of an infection. We're thinking, oh, great. Do we really want to go to the hospital in Montego Bay? And she says, well, you got a couple of choices. We've got a doctor who's going to be coming here today. And we're like, okay, when's he coming? We don't know. Sometime today. Or we can send you to the private hospital in Montego Bay, which is up the road, about 30 minutes up the road. We can send you there. They'll be able to see you right away, and you'll get treated. Just make sure that you have some insurance, or you're going to pay out of pocket. So we decide, okay, let's do the private hospital. Let's make sure that our insurance will cover it, which it did. Sarah goes up to the room. We go up to the room. We make some phone calls. Yep, we're all set. So we go back down to the nurse's station. They call a car for us, and we ride into Montego Bay, go into the hospital, and seen right away, doctor was very nice and said, yeah, you have a second degree sunburn. We're going to treat this with ice packs. We're going to put some cortisone 10 cream on it and antibiotic cream for it. And we'll send you home with a prescription. In the meantime, we'd like to take some blood work, make sure you're not dehydrated, make sure everything else is okay with you. Because not only my ankle was pretty burnt, but my leg got it pretty good. My lower part of my leg. So anyway, we're there for about, I don't know, 2-3 hours because, they have to wait to get in. And then, of course, they do the blood work, and you got to wait for the lab results to come back, and they check it out and everything, and they check over my leg and so forth. So it was about maybe 2 or 3 hours. I don't remember how long it was. It wasn't that bad, but they were very nice. These people were friendly. They were understanding. And we got this thing taken care of. About 2-3 hours and several hundred dollars later, we walk out of the hospital with a prescription. And so we called our taxi driver, the guy that took us over there in the first place. He says, here's my number. When you're done, call me. I'll come back and get you. What you've paid is already covered everything, round trip, so you're all set. And I want to say it was about, I don't know, it was maybe like $75 or $100 to go in, yeah, which is a lot, but it's a long way. And, of course, you got to come back. So we stop at the pharmacy on the way back. Sarah goes in. I stay in the car with the driver listening to rap music, to Jamaican rap music, where the guy sounds like Cookie Monster doing rap. I kid you not. Craziest thing I'd ever heard. And I don't know much about rap to begin with, so I'm asking the guy, and I'm nice. I say, is this a real popular tune? And he says, oh, no, this is a classic. I'm like, okay, thanks. It was interesting to listen to Jamaican radio because they do it a little bit differently there. One of the things they do is they'll just, right in the middle of a song, like the jock is obviously he's out on a remote or location, if you will, doing a party somewhere. And this is like 3 p.m. and he's at some resort and he's doing his show. I don't think he was at a party, but there were people listening somewhere and he just pops on right in the middle of the song and says, hey, we're having this great big party here. Come on. Got to say hi to so-and-so and so-and-so. This is great. You know, rock on, jamming and having a good time right in the middle of the song. It's like, wow. I'm thinking this would never fly where I'm from, but you know, that's how they do it in Jamaica. I guess that's the fun thing about when you go somewhere like that. And it was, you know, fortunate that I had to take the trip that nobody wants to take, but you get to learn a little bit about the culture. You get to learn a little bit about how they do things. And Sarah got to learn how the pharmacy system works in Jamaica. And she says it wasn't that bad. It was interesting, she said. So we got the cream and everything. It was two bottles of like creams that I had to put on my foot for a few days. And I think it was all together a week. So it started to heal. I just couldn't go in the water anymore, but that's all right. I spent some afternoons hanging out at our room. We had a nice view of the ocean, and it was quiet. You could hear the water. I had a day bed that I could sit on undercover. It was really nice. Enjoyed it. Had a good time. And Sarah went and did a few things by herself. I just kind of took it easy, but it didn't spoil my vacation. It really didn't. And so we go on Friday to get our COVID test because at that time we had to have the COVID test, needed to be checked, and so we could come home. Kept our fingers crossed. Ran into the nurse that was taking care of me, and she says, she looked down at my foot. She says, yeah, your foot's looking a lot better. When are you going home? And we said, well, we're going home tomorrow, and that would have been Saturday. And she says, well, come see me in the morning. I will wrap your leg up for travel. That I will do. Well, as it turned out, our COVID test came back negative, and we showed up at her place on Saturday morning, and she wrapped up my leg, and we were all set to go. I should mention that this staff really at this place, and I'm just sorry that I'm drawing a blank on the name of this place, because I really should, because the staff was just really over the top pleasant. We had a meal that we were a little disappointed in one night early in our stay. It wasn't terrible, but it just was kind of disappointing. And I won't go into all the details about it, but we just happened to nonchalantly mention it to one of the staff the next morning at breakfast. And the next thing we know, this chef comes out and he says, I understand you had a problem last night. We're like, well, yeah. And we explained. I said, it's not a problem. And I mentioned that one of the things that I was disappointed was the shrimp cocktail. When I think of shrimp cocktail, I think of the cold, big pieces of shrimp, ring around the plate of cocktail sauce. Well, their idea of shrimp cocktail, these tiny little shrimp in this bed of greens with hot sauce, not cocktail sauce. And I just didn't do it for me. And I wasn't horrible. I just wasn't what I had expected. And so I mention it to him, and he says, well, I'm very sorry. And it's like, no big deal. That's okay. And he goes on about his day, and he just apologized. I'm like, no problem. Well, we're at breakfast the next morning in another restaurant on the resort, and this chef comes back again, but he's got somebody with him. And he says, this is my boss. I'm like, okay. And his boss says to me, you understand you had a problem. And I briefly explained it again and about the shrimp cocktail. I mean, that wasn't the only problem. There was just the quality of the meal was a little disappointing overall, is really what it came down to. And Sarah ordered something that she didn't ask for, and they had to take it back. And we just mentioned it, just nonchalant, not angry or upset, or we demand restitution. No, not like that at all. Well, this chef finds us in another restaurant, brings his boss with him. Boss is asking me about what happened. I told him, and he says, where are you going to be later today? So I'll probably be at the room. Got a little bit of a gimpy foot, so we're going to take it easy today. And he says, I got something for you. So as it turns out, about 6 o'clock that night, we're getting ready to go to dinner, and there's a knock at the door, and a guy's standing there with a shrimp cocktail, the plate of shrimp, big shrimp. It wasn't cocktail sauce, but it was hot sauce. But you know what? The effort was definitely appreciated. And this guy, you know, the guy that, you know, brought the shrimp cocktail, and of course we said thank you, thanks to the chef who sent you up here with that, et cetera, et cetera. And the rest of the week, we kept seeing this chef, the guy that came out and brought his boss. He kept checking in with us every day. It didn't matter where we went for breakfast. He was there. We'd go up to the private restaurant. He was there. We'd go down to the buffet. He was there. I mean, this guy really went up and beyond the call of duty as far as I'm concerned. And so the last morning, we go to the private restaurant for the club members, because that's what we were doing that week, and had what we like to call fancy pants breakfast. You know, you get the pressed Jamaican coffee and the gourmet omelets and et cetera, et cetera. You know, fancy pants breakfast. Yes, could we have some champagne with that, darling? You know, that kind of thing. So we didn't have any champagne. We didn't do samosas. No, we did not do that. But I made a point. I said, can you get, and I wish I could remember his name, the chef, and could you send him out here? So he comes out, and I just said, I want to thank you for taking such good care of us all week, and made sure that he was properly taken care of, if you will, a little gratuity for him. And that was that. The only real other problem that we had on this trip, and it's too bad, was that we went with a certain vacation company. I'm not going to even give them the satisfaction, because this is what really kind of soured me on them. When we landed in Jamaica, we went through customs and all that, went through the thing and everything, and we're get down to where we wait for our ride. And they said, well, you're with such and such company. Yep. Well, they're going to be leaving in just a few minutes, so you better hurry. So we finish our drink real quick, didn't stay for a little appetizer or something like we could have had. And we go out to the motor coach that's going to take us from the airport to the resort. And we get on the bus, you know, they load our bags, we get on the bus, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. We waited 45 minutes. They were supposed to leave right away. They were like, we're leaving in just a few minutes, so you better get on the bus. So we got on the coach, and we waited and waited. And those things, for me, they're not the most comfortable, because you don't have any leg room. So we waited for 45 minutes, and a couple that they're waiting on, I guess there was a couple of other customers or flights that were coming in, charters that were coming in, that they had to wait for. Okay, it happens. It was one of those days. The weather was weird up north, so it was screwing with a lot of the flights coming in. So we had to wait. All right. Well, fast forward to Saturday. We were told by the company concierge that was there at the resort for some of the week, okay, this is where you go. This is what time you need to be waiting for your motor coach to come and pick you up and take you to the airport. They told us you need to be out at your, out front 20 minutes before they leave. So they were supposed to leave at 10 minutes before 1, 12:50 in the afternoon. So it's noon. We go into the restaurant, have one more meal before we leave, and we're out there at 12:30, 12:35, walk out onto the front step of the resort, watching our motor coach that was to pick us up, pulling away. They left without us 20, 25 minutes early. Actually, 15, 20 minutes early. So the people, the bellman says, no problem, I'll call the front gate. And I guess they said at the front gate, the driver said, I waited for them. They weren't there. I'm not coming back. And I just thought, you got to be kidding. You made us wait 45 minutes for some people that were coming in, but you couldn't wait for us when you were obviously early and we were told to be there, you know, later, you know, 20 minutes later than what they were, and left without us? No, no. And so thank goodness we had the cash to be able to get a taxi from our resort to the airport. And in some ways it was kind of nice because we had more room, we were more comfortable. Talked to the driver about Jamaica. He was explaining some things to us. So it was a blessing in disguise. And, you know, it really kind of worked out. It worked out all right. So we got to the airport, you know, had to go through the whole thing of customs and everything. It's the weekend before a lot of folks go back to work and school and everything. So a lot of families, it was controlled chaos at the Montego Bay Airport. And just a little quick note, I'm trying to get through customs and security, and a young guy comes up to me and says, don't worry, Pops, we'll help you. Because he knew I couldn't see well. To him, I must have been some ancient-looking just fossil of a man or something, because he wasn't that old. But he was like, okay, Pops, I'll take care of you, come with me. And I just laughed, like, wow. But the people in Jamaica were just absolutely fabulous, wonderful people. I'd go back there in a heartbeat. I really would. So we got home safe and sound, had a you know, uneventful flight, and got back and spent the night in Toronto and came home, and my foot slowly healed. And no problems. And it's completely healed. I'm fine. So that was my little Jamaican adventure. But the rest of the time, obviously, as I am trying to get the podcast up and running again, like I said, we had some problems with getting some guests lined up. Things just weren't working out. And, you know, we've just been kind of doing our thing. Been going to some Blue Jays games, enjoying the summer, and did a little over 2 week road trip, first part of July, covering about 4,200 kilometers, over 2,000 miles, if you will, two countries, five states, nine cities, and got to see some people I hadn't seen in quite a long time. And also on top of that, Sarah had a convention to go to. She is a Pampered Chef consultant. For those of you living in Canada, if you're into that sort of thing, looking for some of that stuff, let me know. I'll get you in touch with her. Hey, that's what a good husband does. I support my wife. I support her business ventures, and I honestly do believe in what she's doing. So, nonetheless, there was a convention in Chicago for Pampered Chef. Now, we decided, let's make this a big road trip. Let's do that. So we leave on a Saturday morning on July 2nd, and we're going to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's our first stop, to go to a ministry called Sight and Sound Productions. Perhaps you've heard of this thing. This is a company that does live Bible stories on stage. And they do them rather lavishly and rather technically. And what I mean by that is that they really pull all the stops. We found out about them during the pandemic. They had some stuff that they were streaming for free, where you could watch and see, and it was free. It was we saw the Jesus Story. We watched them do a production of Joseph, and we also watched Jonah. And we also got to see Noah. So we've seen a few of the productions. And it was really neat. I take it back. I don't think we saw Joseph. Maybe we did, because I've seen Joseph. I've seen a live production of Joseph. I've seen, both of them, Joseph and, of course, Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, but that's another story for another day. Well, this was quite the production place, and we just thought, we got to go to this place. We got to see this thing. Go in person, and I'm glad we did. Now, of course, we're driving down through the hills of Pennsylvania, not Western, but just Pennsylvania. And there's really no quick way to go north and south when you're going through Pennsylvania. And we found that out when we went to College Station in Happy Valley, where the Penn State University is. We went to Penn State to watch a Michigan game several years ago. And, of course, we just went all over the place. Every two-lane road, goat path you can think of, we went through. Thank goodness for the GPS. Well, we did sort of the same thing. And we are just, we're rolling to make our way through. And we're trying to get down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We're running a little short on time. There was a thunderstorm we had to get through, made things a little interesting, got through it okay. Rolled into the parking lot at 10 minutes to 7 and walked in and sat down and watched David. We went to see David. And it was an amazing production. This place, if you like Bible stories, if you're into that and want to see it all come to life on stage, you have to go. I don't care what you see. It really doesn't matter. But in this case, they really did it well. It's about a 2,000-seat theater, and they have this large stage. It's in a big U-shape that almost wraps around you. Not quite, but they have these big CGI screens on the wall. And in the opening scene, you see Samuel and some of the other characters there in the citizens of Israel saying, "We want a king." That whole part of it. If you know the story, what I'm talking about. Well, they have these scenes on the screens, and it makes it look like there are thousands and thousands of people on the stage. And you see the live actors, and you see the images on the screen, and they almost intertwine. It almost looks like you can't tell who is who. Who is live, who is CGI. That's how cool this thing was. And so we got to see the production. It was a great time. Had a wonderful evening. It was so worth it. I'll go back there in a heartbeat. Again, if you ever get a chance, you got to go. They use live animals in these productions. They had some sheep. They had some horses, because obviously they had to have the part where David is tending the sheep. And they had sheep on stage. You see them walk up the center aisle, because we were up in the balcony, up towards the front of the balcony. You could see everything really well. And you see all these sheep coming up the aisle, and they come on the stage, and the horses come out on the stage, and et cetera, et cetera. It was really, really neat. I'm not going to tell you how they did the part with Goliath. You're going to have to go and see this thing for yourself. I'll just tell you it was really cool how they did it. Well, anyway, it was a fun evening. So we decide, we had already decided. So we get up the next morning, we hit the road, and we're heading towards Cincinnati. I have a sister who lives in Cincinnati, and we were going to go visit them, spend the evening of the 3rd and the 4th of July holiday with my sister, brother-in-law, and whoever else was going to be around. I have a niece and a nephew who both happen to live in Cincinnati. Well, my niece and her family, her kids, they were gone. They were visiting their family in Iowa, so they weren't around, but we got to see my nephew and his wife and their kids and hang out with my sister and brother-in-law, and got to see some fireworks sitting out in front of my sister's house, because they happen to live right near where they shoot them off. So all you have to do is walk outside, sit in the driveway, and you can watch the fireworks go off. Not too bad of a commute, if you ask me. But we had a nice time. And then the next day, just kind of hung out with my sister for a little while. My brother-in-law had played golf during the day, came home. We just kind of relaxed in the pool and went to a Cincinnati Reds baseball game and got to see some more fireworks. It was a lot of fun. It was just very relaxing, really enjoyed ourselves. Then we got on the road and headed for Chicago and spent 5 days in Chicago while Sarah went to the convention stuff. I did a little bit of everything. I kind of hung out in the room. I kind of hung around the hotel. And we were there while the big outage happened here in Canada. For those of you who don't know, maybe you do. If you lived here in Canada, you do. Rogers, one of the big carriers here in Canada, which we happen to be customers of, their entire network went down, and it was rather extensive. Our phones would not work outside of using Wi-Fi. Now, we couldn't make any phone calls at all, and we could get on the internet, but we had to have Wi-Fi, and the hotel had plenty of Wi-Fi, so we were good. But like, we went to dinner that night and left the hotel, and our phones were pretty much useless. They couldn't do anything with them. Nothing. And this network thing, it just screwed everything up. It was pretty bad. And Rogers is still dealing with that. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details and everything about it, but needless to say that these guys got egg all over their face big time. And it's, you know, they're trying to make amends for what they've done, and we'll see what happens. And hopefully this kind of thing won't ever happen again. Well, we get through Chicago, had a chance for me to see a good friend of mine, my friend Mike, who is a regular listener of the podcast. Mike, it was great hanging out with you, to sit and have a coffee with you and have a bite to eat and catch up and talk about what's going on with you, what's going on with me. We had a nice time. And that was on Saturday morning at the end of Sarah's convention. So after that, I went back to the hotel. Mike dropped me off and waited for Sarah to finish her morning session. And then we went out to Rockford, Illinois, which is west of Chicago, to visit a good friend of mine who I've worked with on a couple of occasions and have been friends with for a long time. Hung out with him, ended up having some dinner with him and his family, and just had a nice evening. Well, we were going to go to Iowa the next day. That was the plan. The original plan was that we were going to hang out on Saturday. Not sure what we were going to do. We're going to stop and see my friend Bill in Rockford and then drive on out to Iowa. Well, that didn't happen because they had to bow out because of a death, not in the family, but a close friend passed away suddenly, and they were going to be involved. So they said, well, we can't really have you here. We're going to be tied up. Can we do this next year? So that was that. So what did we do for a couple days? Well, we went to Benton Harbor, Michigan. Sunday afternoon, got in the car, drove to Benton Harbor, and hung out, kind of just took it easy for a couple of days. Sarah kind of had a chance to rest up a little bit, did a little sightseeing in that, and actually drove up to Grand Rapids on the Tuesday to visit another radio friend of mine and got to hang out with her for a little bit. I worked with her at one of the stations I was at, and it was nice to see Kim Carson. I think Kim listens every so often. I'm not sure how much, but we may have to get Kim on the podcast. Kim has a great story to tell, by the way. And that's what I mean. It's people who have overcome things, and there's, you know, it's just, when if I can get her on the podcast, she can share her story, and it's rather inspiring. It really is, in ways you might not expect, but I always thought she was just and still is a great, great person. Lovely person. Got to meet her mom, some friends of hers too. We had a nice lunch. And then on Wednesday morning, we hop on the road and we are heading towards Toledo. And we ended up stopping in a little town in northeast Indiana, Angola, Indiana. Now you're saying, why Angola, Indiana? Well, Angola is is a little resort town in Steuben County, Indiana. It's right in the northeast corner of Indiana. They have a large state park there, Pokagon State Park. There are lakes and cottages and all kinds of stuff. They've got a lodge and a resort. Used to go out there in the winter with my Boy Scout troop that I was a part of, and we would go out there and camp in the winter and do the toboggan run and go ice skating and all that kind of stuff and just had a great time. Well, Angola is a place to be in the summertime, too. Well, they have this radio station out there, WLKI, and I became good friends with the program director at WLKI back in the day, Gary Osborne. And also got to know some of the staff and struck up a bit of a friendship with Andy St. John's. And Andy and I have stayed friends for a long time. And he said, well, you got to come by the radio station, Jim. Come on, I'm doing the morning show. Come on by the radio station. And the thing that I love about this station is that it was always a live and local radio station when it would have been so easy for them to just be automated or whatever. Even back in the day when we didn't have all this technology that we have now. Well, they're still doing a lot of live and local radio. And they're involved in the community and they do a lot of stuff. And the station still sounds very good. Andy has since become program director and has kind of carried on the tradition. They have a new owner. It's a local owner, thank goodness. They didn't get swallowed up by the big corporations. They are live and local and still doing their thing. Their company is growing, and they're doing radio the right way. They're doing it live and local as best they can. Well, when you stop by a radio station to say hi to somebody, you know what's going to happen. And I will just say this. This is the little surprise that I have. Well, you get to hear what happened when I stopped by WLKI on that Wednesday morning. And I will say this. I was caught a little bit off guard. Honestly, I wasn't prepared. I should have known better. You're going to a radio station. A friend of yours is on the radio. Do you think he might put you on the radio? Well, Andy did. So he was kind enough to have recorded this little conversation, and I thought I would share it with you.
WLKI 100.3, and Jim Snyder is here as well. Jim, can I ask you to talk on the radio just real quick? Jim and his lovely bride, Sarah, are joining us here on WLKI.
Headphones on.
Just real quick here. Yeah, we've had Jim Snyder, an alum of WLKI, who was with us. When was that? In the early 90s?
Probably sometime in the 90s. It's been a long time.
It's great to have you back here. You're traveling around the area. Where are you? Where do you live right now?
Well, I am living in a little town about an hour or so outside of Toronto, Brantford, Ontario, and my wife is Canadian, so it was easy for me to take my little radio career from where I was at in Ohio, in Toledo, and just go north or northeast and, just kind of hang out in Canada for a while. And I'm, 15 years later, still hanging out in Canada.
Not bad, huh?
Not bad.
Are you doing any radio? Are you talking into a microphone up in Canada?
I'm talking into a microphone in Canada, but I'm doing a podcast these days. The Jim Snyder Podcast.
Yeah.
I got to do this. You realize that. I have to give myself the shameless plug. Wherever podcasts are sold. It's free, obviously, but... No, you just go, just Google it. Wherever you get your podcast, there I am. You can hear all about me. There's about 30 some odd episodes up there, and eventually there'll be some more. And maybe I even go on and talk about, hey, I got to hang out with my old buddy Andy St. John at WLKI. So you never know.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It was great. When we met originally, you would come in from Toledo to be on the radio here in Angola. And it's not a usual situation, I should say, for many broadcasters, because you had a friend of yours that would drive you in from Toledo there was a reason for that, right?
Right, because I am considered legally blind, or if you will, I like to say low vision. And I had a gentleman, and the real quick story was I found this guy through the local agency in town, And I called them and I said, I need someone that can help me do some driving, you know, for me at odd hours. And I'm thinking they're going to laugh at me and hang up. And they said, oh, yeah, we know just the guy. Well, the gentleman, he has long since passed. His name was Glenn. And Glenn was a retired boiler operator at the Jeep plant in Toledo and drove a BMW and had a lead foot. So we would go, we drove all over Ohio, Michigan, Indiana. And I mean, it just, we went places. We'd be going down the road and he's like, oh, got it up to 100 there. And that's not kilometers, by the way. That's miles per hour. So I'm kind of lucky that I'm even here to talk about it, to be honest with you.
So great. And I thought what was really cool in meeting you, and it was fascinating. You're a great broadcaster, first of all.
Okay. How many zeros do you want on the end of that check there, Andy?
Second of all, it was fascinating when you would come into the radio station to prepare to go on the air. You brought in a typewriter, a Braille typewriter, to be on the air. And it was just fascinating to watch you hit those keys. You knew what you were doing. You typed out what you had. You put it in front of you. You felt it. You talked about it on the air, and it was flawlessly. What an amazing skill. I to this day, I'm still amazed by that. I think that is just so cool.
Well, golly, I don't know what to say, except how many zeros do you want in that check, Andy?
I mean, what a great talent. And it doesn't matter. We're all on the radio to have fun, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things, as I said to you the other day, because I mentioned to Andy that we're coming through the area. We're on a big road trip right now, just making our way around the Midwest and the Great Lakes and coming through Angola. It's like, I got to stop and see these guys. And it was just one of those fun things. And
it's great to have you on here this morning. And Sarah, thank you for being with us today as well. Sarah, your occupation is a...
There you go.
Elementary school vice principal. Wow. And Pampered Chef consultant.
How long have you been a vice principal at school?
14 years.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time.
What school is that?
Well, it's Edith Montour Elementary School in Brantford.
Very good. What's the mascot?
What is your mascot? I don't know.
It's a hawk. Had to think about that for a
there
minute.
There you go. All right. Well, it is great to have you with us. Have safe trips. I know you're going to go see Ozzy here a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
We're going to go see Gary Osborne. I mean, I know he's been around for a long time. And
a great guy.
Yeah, a great guy. And it was fun to come out here and hang out with you guys. And because, I'm just a big fan of local radio, obviously. And WLKI has been around here for such a long time. And present ownership has continued on the tradition of live and local, and that's, you don't see that too much anymore.
We're very lucky. We're very, very proud to be here as well, and very fortunate to have a community that supports us to do this. And it's great to have you with us this morning. Jim, have a wonderful trip. And Sarah, have a wonderful trip as well. Sarah, thank you for putting up with all the radio stuff.
I feel like a rock star. I mean, it's like, hey, it's great to be here in, look at the back of my guitar,
local area. Jim Snyder, Sarah Snyder, thank you very, very much for joining us. Have a wonderful summer. And thanks for joining us here on your summer vacation station, WLKI.
Well, I had to include the jingle in that, and Andy actually put all of that together for me. I didn't edit any of that. He was nice enough to just send that along. He said, I've recorded this. I'll send it to you. I'm like, okay. And I just figured it would just be something, but he, just made a nice little package. And Andy, thank you so much, bud. That was a lot of fun. I just wasn't honestly prepared. I don't know. I should know better, but that's just kind of how it goes, but it was a good time. And WLKI, they're doing local radio, and I worked out there, went out there and did some shifts. I didn't go all the time. I probably would go, every few months or whatever. Gary would call me and say, hey, my Saturday night person needs to take a night off. Can you come in? Would you like to come in? Sure. And it was a different format from what I was doing at the time, and being able to play, top 40 music and just the formatics, as we say in the industry, were a little different from what I was doing at the time, playing classic rock, which I enjoyed, still do. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun. And thank you, Andy. And I will say this, you're going to get to hear a little bit more of this kind of thing. We're going to turn the tables next week. this time I get to be the one that gets interviewed. And we'll talk about that in the upcoming episode. All right, I'm going to do this one from memory, so if I screw this up, please forgive me. The Norwegian Navy, why does the Norwegian Navy have barcodes on the sides of their ships? Well, so when they come into port, they can Scandinavian. Now, you've got a pun that you would like to share with me. I'd love to hear from you. The Jim Snyder Podcast at gmail.com. The Jim Snyder Podcast at gmail.com. And you know what? I almost forgot to finish our story, our road trip story. I was so excited to get to the pun that I forgot to finish the story. But I will finish the story here real quick. We ended up going into Toledo, got to hang out with Jeff Lamb. A good friend of mine has a thing called the Man Cave. Look it up online. He does a thing with live and local bands and does local music that he streams on the internet from local bands. So if you're curious, if you happen to be in the Toledo area or just like local music in general, this show, it's usually on every Wednesday night. I think 8 o'clock Eastern time is when he is on. Like I said, go to the Man Cave, jefflamb.com, I think is his website, jefflamb.com, or you could Google the Man Cave. You'll find it. And he has this little facility out in Wauseon, Ohio, west of Toledo, where he does these shows. And Sarah and I got to go and watch a episode of that and hang out and meet some really cool people. And also, over the next few days, got to hook up with some friends of mine that I went to elementary school with. Got together with a couple of guys and one for lunch, and got together with another friend of mine that we've known each other forever. Had a cup of coffee together on Saturday morning, got to see some other friends that I have been, friends with for a long time. One who was actually on the podcast early on, Steve Glad, got to see him and his sister, Mary Ellen, and got to see some other folks who we got to hang out with, and even had lunch with my brother on our way home. So it was a full trip. It was a full trip. We came home, collapsed, and did lots and lots of laundry. So there you go. It was a good time. So that was our big road trip. That's what we've been up to. That's what I've been doing. Hoping to get more of these podcasts out to you. I'm also, just a little personal note, working on getting an internet radio station put together. That is coming along. I really can't say any more than that right now, just to say that it's coming slowly but surely. Hopefully I'll be able to put something together here in the not so distant future. But I'll be honest, one of the things I need to come up with is money. If you'd like to help me out, I'm not going to beg for it, but if you feel so inclined that you'd like to donate, that's up to you. I'm not, it's one of those things. I don't like to ask for money, but sometimes people like to be generous. And if that's, that's honestly if you want to see this happen, something that I can do and obviously share with everybody, I'm not going to turn down any donations. So it's not an official begathon here, but if you want to help, how can I help? That's how you can help. So there you go. The Jim Snyder Podcast at gmail.com. Get in touch with me and we'll go from there. And I probably should mention, we talked a little bit about I think it was right before, I don't know if I mentioned this towards the end of this last season, about my vision. It's stable for now. It's not what I want it to be. We're just kind of waiting to see if anything changes. Hopefully things will stay stable. So that's kind of, what's going on with me. It's everything is good. Life is good. We're looking forward to football season here with the start of the college football season in September. The border is open. We're going, so I can't wait for that. I'm sure you can't wait for the next episode of the Jim Snyder Podcast. So make sure you get your emails and that into me, questions, comments, puns, all that sort of thing. I'd love to hear from you. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll get together and turn the tables next week. I'll tell you more about that next time. Until we meet again, this is Jim Snyder reminding you, it's not what happens to you in life that's important. It's how you respond that really counts.
Entertaining conversation. Big Jim, the Jim Snyder Podcast.